Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Storytelling Time. My name is William Porter. I'd like to welcome back to the show today Ms. Nevada York. Nevada was with us last time when she talked about her business, and she also touched on her brief time on television. This week, Nevada, I'd like for you to talk to me and to talk to our listening audience about your family life as well as your faith. First off, tell us about your life as a kid growing up.
Okay. I grew up in California, and my father, he was in the Air Force, so we got to travel around a bit, and that's something that I think some people find challenging, but I enjoyed it, actually, because I just like meeting new people and connecting with new friends and finding out more about different cultures. So I would say growing up as an Air Force brat, I found it to be very beneficial. But yeah, I really liked it, being able to just move around and meet different people.
So at a very early age, you did move around quite a bit.
Yeah,
we
did.
We stable in one spot, so to speak.
No. I mean, I grew up in California. Then I spent some time in D.C., and then I believe also in Idaho is some of the places that we went to. So that was nice.
Where in California? I'm just curious.
Oh,
California,
yeah,
is a big state.
Yes, the Bay Area. Yep.
Okay.
And so a little town, I think it's about Blair, outside of Oakland, is where I grew up at. It's where, you know, most of my family is still at today.
Okay. Great. Well, relating to that, how important is a stable home environment to future success in anything, in your opinion?
I think for children especially, a stable home environment is crucial. I know kids, they have the ability to adapt very well to different surroundings and just changes in general. But I think overall, for consistency purposes and for adjustment purposes, I think it's well needed for kids to have a stable household with just some normalization that's around, because sometimes it can be challenging if you're always facing new and different things and you're having to always, you know, pivot and do different, you know, stuff that's required of you. It can be challenging. So I'm a proponent of a stable home if you can help it.
And I know you mentioned this last week, but I understand that you have had some experience being on television, and kind of refresh our minds about that.
Yes. See, I shared that aside with you because, you know, I was just bragging, but it wasn't a lot of stuff to be bragging about. I was like, check it out, Dr. Porter. But yes, I was on a television commercial here in Raleigh, North Carolina for WTVD TV. And so that was one of my highlights. I also do some acting on the side. I guess I should have mentioned that in the previous show last week. But yeah, I also do some acting on the side. I like the idea of just being in the background. And if needed, I can come up to the forefront. But I like the camera. I like being up there.
So maybe you are a movie star.
I'm telling you, you keep saying it. It's going to happen. Just keep saying it. It's going to manifest. You're going to see me on TV, except in the Oscar, and be like, see, I am the movie star.
I knew that person way back.
Exactly.
And hopefully you'll remember us.
Oh, always. Yeah. I always remember my fans, audience. I never forget anybody.
Great. Okay, well, listen, we're going to go ahead and take a break now. And when we return, we'll get into a little bit more detail about your faith. And I'm really interested
in
seeing what you have to say about that. So
absolutely.
Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Nevada, tell us more about your disappointments and struggles and how your faith has helped you to overcome various personal issues in your life.
Okay, personal issues.
If you've had any.
I know, I'm trying to think. I'm always wanting to see the glass half, what's it saying?
Half full.
Yes, half full versus half empty.
Exactly.
So I always try to have a very good outlook on life, but I'm just thinking that it was good to be able to have that perspective and just not have any type of, you know, personal struggles. I mean, I've had those, obviously, but one that comes to mind is when I first moved here to North Carolina, and I'm a single mother, and so that's one challenge in itself, is raising a child by yourself. And so I leaned a lot on the Lord to help me get through that period in my life, because I wouldn't have, you know, I believe with my faith, I wouldn't have been able to do it without him. And I remember a story where, you know, I think I was, I don't know how old I was, but I had put in for a loan for a house, and I was, you know, fairly young, and the loan officer, she was just like, "I'm sorry, you can't have it. You can't, you know, get the loan." And I had already saw myself in the house. I just saw everything. And when she told me that, my spirit was really crushed. And so I was just praying. And then maybe 2 hours later, she called and she said, "I was able to push it through. And I'm just happy to tell you that you are now, you know, a new homeowner." And so sometimes in life, I do look back on that moment, because I was just really devastated. Because, you know, you have your heart set on something and you want to achieve it, and then it falls through, you know, where else do you go? And so that was one moment that I think brought me obviously closer to the Lord. And I just knew that, you know, with him, all things were possible.
You know, some people, believers I'm talking about, point to an event or a time when they maybe even miraculously came to know the Lord or found God, however you want to put it, become saved.
Right.
And then others, it's more of a gradual transition, especially if you come from a favorable home environment like you came from. So people go in all kinds of directions. Mm-hmm. And so what you're saying is that it was more of a gradual growth
in the spirit. Yeah, because you say people have different experiences. So I knew about God. I knew about the church. But my mother, she was not a fan of organized religion. So you have that dichotomy of, you know, wanting to get closer to the Lord, have fellowship. And then you have my mother is saying, there's no church, because, you know, in the Bible, she's like, we're all church. You know, we are the church. You don't go to a building. She didn't even call it the church right now. She calls it a building. So being experienced to that, you're just like, what's going on? And so as I, got older, I was able to discern between the two, because, you know, it is true. I mean, you have the organized religion, where I think a lot of times they use religion as a tool, and it, you know, sort of disengages people from wanting to know more about God. And then you have the opposite spectrum of that, where, you know, you can be doing your own thing and having your own relationship with the Lord, which is great. But I also think fellowshipping with other believers is very important. And it just helps, you know, you when you're struggling. You don't want to be by yourself. So you want to be around other people that can uplift you and help you when you are having those struggles. Because I've had them. And it's great to be around people that can help uplift you to get you where you need to be.
Well, that's true. That's very true. Well, let me ask you this. How has your faith assisted you in the success you've had as an entrepreneur up to this point? And can you point to specific instances where God was certainly there, in your opinion?
For me, I always think God is always there. It's just a matter of, you know, noticing him in those moments. So with my entrepreneurial experience, you know, with the TV stuff, Dr. Porter, when I was little, I was like, you know what, I'm going to be on TV. And it's just a matter of what you say out in the atmosphere, you know, it becomes true. So that helped me realize that with God, when he says, you know, the power of life and death is in the tongue, those types of things lets me know that it just re-solidifies how accurate and true his word is, and which helps me just, you know, become even more of a believer. But, you know, these experience we're having with Jimmy with the Every Dot Black, it's just like, how did that happen? You know, I just showed up at a meeting one day. I already had a food blog. And before you know it, we're having the Restaurant Magic, you know, radio show. So these things that are, you know, prayers and just things that you pray, like you hope to have one day happen, I think God just shows up in those things if you just don't give up and you keep believing.
But you know, you have so many stereotypes, and we have pictures of a group or an individual for that matter being a certain way. And certainly people have these images of believers or people who go to church regularly. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's accurate, sometimes it's not, because you have so many different people mm-hmm. among the faith, even among the faith.
Right.
I remember when I first joined the Erudite Black group, I didn't know Jimmy very well. Mm-hmm. We met at a networking group, and I tried to access the website about a couple of days later, and it was during the time when there was a lot of hacking going on, mm-hmm. and so I didn't have a lot of faith in a lot of websites
right.
that I didn't know about, mm-hmm. and so I couldn't get on the website. And so that weekend, I think it was a Thursday or Friday, and the whole weekend I spent trying to get my money back. I think it was at the time only $100. I think now it's $125.
Right.
But I tried to get my money back because, right. wait a minute, is this a sham or something?
Yeah.
But for some reason, I couldn't get through to my financial institution. Uh-huh. And I said to myself the following week, I guess this is just another $100 lost. But anyway, it's interesting how sometimes God saves us from ourselves.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because my mentality was not to move forward with this enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
But the way things worked out, things didn't happen the way I wanted them to happen.
Yeah.
Thank goodness. And
right.
so, of course, Jimmy started to develop the group, and we're where we are now.
Exactly. So. Exactly. It wasn't meant for you to call your bank and say, cancel it, cancel it.
And of course, I'm glad I did. But anyway, it's just another example of how things tend to work out.
Right.
The way they're supposed to work out.
If you had canceled it, we wouldn't be sitting here today having this conversation.
True. Let me take another break.
Okay.
Nevada, and then we'll come back. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back. Nevada, we know that the true church is spiritual and is one body, known as the body of Christ, in fact. But the local church is made up of individuals who are different from one another in many ways, based on things like social status, economic class, race, even various ways that we offer up our worship. For example, some display worship in a more outward vocal expression of praise, while others are more reserved in their worship. Now, the question is this. What do you think about these differences in the local church? And do you think it can sometimes lead to serious divisions within the body, that is, the body of Christ?
Mm-hmm. I do, unfortunately. I do believe with all these stipulations that particular churches or denominations have, it does just sort of fracture the unity that can be under the one body of Christ, as you mentioned. So trying to figure out how to navigate that could be challenging to new believers. But my belief is that I think people should have more focus on developing a relationship with Jesus versus all these social aspects that you mentioned, the money, the singing, all that. Everything is different. And I've experienced both. You know, I've gone to churches where, you know, there's no singing, and other churches where there's like wonderful praise and worship. And I love praise and worship because I just believe that you can usher in the Spirit of God, you know, in that type of environment. But I just don't want people to negate following Christ, getting hung up on those types of, you know, separations and lack of unity, because it's more than that. I think the relationship that one person has with Jesus supersedes all these quote unquote traditions, and I think sometimes even handcuffs that some denominations can put on their congregation could be very detrimental to people developing a healthy relationship with, you know, in their relationship and knowing more about the Lord. So I think it's just a difficult path, I think, for people that are new and developing, you know, wanting to know more about salvation. But I think these differences with the denominations, they've been going on for I don't know how many years, but everyone seems to do their own thing. But I think if we focus on being more like Christ, then that can go a long way.
But you mentioned traditions. You know, a lot of it, I think, has to do with culture, the way we were brought up.
Absolutely.
And chances are, however way you were brought up, you will tend to move in that direction.
Yep.
Unless there is a dramatic change.
Yeah.
And of course, that is possible. We know that because of what happened to the Apostle Paul, who was formerly Saul.
Yep.
But usually people just tend to follow along with however they were brought up.
Yeah. And how are you? Are you, because my DNA, I am a, I think I blame, I'll attribute it to my mother. I'm a natural rule breaker. Like, you know, if everyone's like following the sheep, I'm the one to be like, why are people following the sheep? Why is everyone going to go this way? So what do you find, like with your experience, just going along, or do you like tend to raise your hand and say, I'm going to do something different?
Am I the interviewee now? All of a sudden?
Yes.
But anyway, no, I was going to mention this anyway, and that is the, I was brought up Baptist, Southern Baptist, had a fiery preacher growing up, fire and brimstone kind of preacher. And then I continued. Actually, there was a time after I left home going to college, I didn't go to church at all. Wasn't that concerned about religion, religious kinds of things. And then when I went to graduate school, not to get so much into detail, but I kind of refound the church because I was able to join a church where the membership was more like me at the time.
Yeah.
Everybody was kind of young.
Yeah.
And I had formerly pictured church people as being older.
Right.
People. And but it was a Baptist church, and so in the last several years, I've belonged to a Methodist church, which is a lot different than the worship experience that I had coming up, which was more solemn. We sang hymns, and I actually grew to love that, as a matter of fact. But unless you're familiar with that kind of mode of worship, in this case, you might not be it might not be for you.
Exactly.
And it's fine. And that's why we have so many different churches and denominations in the first place. The idea, as you mentioned earlier, is to have that personal relationship regardless of the manner in which you in which you serve, worship.
Yeah, so my experience was, I guess you could say, different than yours, because I was raised to not, you know, go to church, because my mom was like, you are the church. She would have Bible study there in the home, and we would do it that way. But it wasn't until, you know, I left, I was like, you know, I think I can go to church and just meet some people and just, you know, figure out what's going on. But you're right. There's like a whole spectrum of what happens inside of that building. And you just got to figure out what works for you and your spirituality in order to help you grow. So.
And no situation is perfect.
Yeah.
There are issues with every institution.
Right.
And you'll be looking forever if you're trying to find the perfect church or congregation.
I think sometimes people look for things. But like you said, nothing's perfect. So you just go there, get what you can, give what you can also, and just grow. That should be your main focus, to grow in Christ and to develop a relationship.
Okay, well, we're almost out of time, Nevada. And I really appreciate the sharing of yourself, your business, as well as your faith today. Do you have any closing thoughts?
I would like to say thank you so much for having me on your show. I greatly appreciate the opportunity. And I'm always a big fan and proponent of spreading the word and getting people to at least want to know more about the creator of heaven and earth. Because I just think it's awesome. I mean, just having that relationship is just, you know, you can't put it into words.
And again, it serves as a foundation, certainly, to your success. And any success that we all have, I believe, is due to the principles that align with the Creator. Would you like to give us again your contact information? I know you did this last week, but for anyone who may not have listened last week,
sure. Absolutely. Your audience can reach me at Nevada_York@yahoo.com.
Okay. Great. By the way, I mentioned earlier that you and I are part of the same networking group out of Raleigh, the Every Doc Black group with Mr. Jimmy Davies as our leader and mentor, as a matter of fact. And I'll be seeing you at the various mastermind meetings.
Absolutely.
So I'll be seeing you. And by the way, we're always interested in like-minded business people joining our group. So whether you're here in Raleigh, North Carolina, or if you live in some of the other part of the country, just give Mr. Davies a call at 919-265-8045 if you want more information about what we do as entrepreneurs. Okay, well, thank you very much again for being with us, and I'd certainly like to thank our audience, our listening audience, and our virtual song of the week will be coming next. We'll see the next time, and remember, there's always more good things coming your way.